And it's my pleasure now to welcome Green to our studio.
Hi there.
Welcome and good morning to Capital.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, congratulations on the success of the new album, which has just come out, Cupid and Psyche.
Psyche, yes.
I've heard it said a few ways. Do you mind?
No. Well, I prefer Psyche. I think that's right. I heard Gary Davis called it Psyche, which is a new one on me. But Psyche, I think, is the proper way to say it.
Why do you call it Cupid and Psyche 85? Where did the title come from?
Well, there is a legend of Cupid and Psyche, which very briefly is that they were in love with each other on the condition that they didn't find out too much about each other, but curiosity got the better of her, and she sort of, I don't think she was even supposed to look at him properly, and she did, and he fled, and she was then doomed to spend the rest of her time running around the world performing various tasks to try and win his love back. And I thought that was pertinent just because it was kind of like a fable of being over familiar with someone in like personal relationships. And also because Cupid stands for affairs of the heart and Psyche for the mind, really.
Well, it's 3 years since the last album, The Word...
So they say.
...Girl, from the album's a hit. Why have you waited so long for a follow-up to Songs to Remember?
Well, there's a missing year almost, you know. I can't quite play... 2 years I can account for. And working backwards, this last year was spent making the LP largely. There was sort of 3 months in the studio and 3 months out of the studio, sort of promoting things, and then back in the studio, back out again. So that took up about 12 months. Then before that, there was 12 months taken up sort of sorting out record labels and management and writing songs and spending lots of time in New York. But exactly what happened before that, I can't remember. I guess I was just, you know, sort of hanging out and having fun, really.
When I last spoke to you for the radio, which was some time ago, you were spending a lot of time in New York, and you brought me some records to play, which at the time were not all that familiar to British ears. Mm. A lot of the kind of beatbox and beat boys and all those sort of rapping sort of
That's
styly
right.
records, you know.
Yes.
A lot of the black music. Which people now say you've been largely influenced by for this new album. Do you see it that way?
No, I could have been. You know, I had to make almost a conscious decision while making the LP whether to admit a lot of hip-hop influences or to kind of just enjoy hip-hop music and rapping and scratching and stuff and to sort of keep it as a sort of recreational interest. But which I think is a good thing, really, because... I personally would hate to be sort of cast alongside Paul Hardcastle sort of in the middle of 1985 with a white hip-hop record. And so it was just something that I enjoyed on the side. I mean, it kept my interest in music up. That's what it did.
Right. Well, I've read a lot of reviews about the current hit, The Word Girl, where the reviewer talks of you incorporating reggae. I must admit, when I first heard the song, I didn't think reggae music.
I don't think reggae. I mean, obviously, there's a little touch of sort of white... sugary white pop reggae, you know, which is something that Scritti messed with once before, which is sort of legitimate form, I think. But it's cod reggae, you know, it's pop reggae, it's toy reggae.
Right. I have picked up on the definition of the word girl, in other words, the reason you wrote it and passed it on to the listeners in the past. In case anyone missed that, perhaps in your own words, you could tell us how you came to write that song just before we play it.
Yes, well, it was the last set of lyrics that I had to write for the LP, and as I said, the LP was recorded over a year, and that was sort of like when you go into the studio to sing a song and then forget it, really, and then don't go back in the studio for another couple of months. And it wasn't until the end of recording the album did I have all the lyrics in front of me and see that I'd made, you know, copious references to girls. It was girls here and baby there, and every song, I think, had at least a couple of three references to girls in it. So I thought it would be important to write at least one song that acknowledged the fact that I knew I was doing it and you know, perhaps try and say something about the use of the word girl.
All right, let's play it then, and we'll come back and talk some more with Green of Scritti Politti. From the network chart, The Word Girl from Scritti Politti, and Green is in the studio with me. We have in front of us the new album just released called Cupid and Psyche 1985. Green, in the last little while, you've become somewhat of a pin-up in a lot of the pop magazines and color things. I mean, are you happy with the situation now? I mean, it's very different from your previous image.
I'm not sure how much of a pin-up I am. I mean, I think what happens is that as you have some degree of success, then the magazines like Smash Hits and Number One will reflect that, and they'll want to have pictures of you. And so you sort of traipse along and, you know, you have a decent night's sleep the night before, have a proper shave and do your best, you know, sort of. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I do feel a bit uncomfortable with it because I know just how sort of unreal the relationship can be between sort of fans and musicians. Because, I mean, I was a fan. I was a sort of, you know, I was a fan of every, you know, the sort of Bowie and Bolan and even people like Robert Wyatt I used to write fan letters to. And I can remember thinking that musicians must inhabit some other kind of space, you know, to be very, very special and different people. And now I am a musician, for my sins, you know, I realise that that's not the case at all, but I see that's perpetuated, you know, and it's a bit uncomfortable.
It's interesting because people like Bolan and especially David Bowie have been allowed to kind of change chameleon-like with every album, with every venture they do. But yet some reviewers, some writers in the pop press always question when you have a change of appearance.
Yes.
or image or direction. And that must irk you somewhat.
No, it surprises me, you know, because I would have thought, I mean, I'm just the same as anybody else. I mean, our tastes change, don't they? I mean, we like to, you know, you find new things to listen to and you have lots of influences and you look forward to having the time and the opportunity to express them and get round to doing different things. And I think that's healthy. I mean, I've always preferred musicians that changed rather than those that stayed the same. I mean, I couldn't think of a good reason to stay doing what I was doing, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah. I read somewhere recently that, and this is surprising, it surprised me and I think a lot of people, that when you do, you know, pop programs on television or videos, the artist must be pretty confident about what they're doing and pretty happy to be playing that role and promoting his or her music. But I read recently that you're pretty shy of doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, I've never actually watched myself do it. You know, I've done quite a lot of TVs here and abroad now, but I've never actually watched a video playback of myself because I really don't think I could handle that. I think it'd be much too scary. And I'm happier just going and doing it and, like, you know, pretending that there aren't X million people watching or something. And that's the only way I can get through it, really. I do find it pretty nerve-wracking prospect. I think just because, you know, as I said before, just because you might be able to write a half-decent tune doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be very comfortable in the role of a performer or any other kind of... I mean, the things don't necessarily go together. Mm. They're very different skills.
What about performing, then? Because you don't go out and tour, do you?
Well, we haven't done, but I think we're actually going to give it a try later this year, which I'm a bit apprehensive about. But we have to, I think next week we're going off to Japan and Australia and then back around the other side to LA
to do TVs.
To do TVs and to shake people's hands and to do press and things and meet record company people. And then we're going to have a holiday, hooray, hooray, which I'm looking forward to. And then we're actually going to go to New York and rehearse to play live. And if the rehearsals go well, then I think we're going to do some gigs. And I think there's even some listed already, some penciled in. I think we start off in Ireland, in Ulster, and then come and do some dates in this country, which is really going to, God knows how it's going to go, you know. I'm half excited about it and half filled with sort of dread, I must admit.
All right, you've got 9 tracks on this new album. 4 of them have already been hits. That leaves 5 new tracks.
Yes.
I was going to, obviously, why you decided to put, like, 4 established hits on the album with just 5 new tracks?
Well, in territories other than this, they're called territories in the record business, as you and I know. But in other parts of the world, a lot of that stuff hasn't been released. In America, for instance, I think they had a 12-inch of Woodbees, and that was their lot. I don't think anything else got released there. So... And the same would be true of other places in Europe and Japan and stuff. So short of doing sort of separate LPs for different territories, I mean, there was a body of work that had been made up sort of what we'd done over the last year, and we released it. I mean, there's 2 ways of looking at it. Either you think it's a bargain that you get sort of like hits on an album, or you think it's a rip-off. If you think it's a rip-off, then I suggest you either don't buy it or tape it or, you know, do find some other way to deal with it.
All right. Let me ask you to pick a track that you like a lot from the album, and I'll play it now, and perhaps you can tell us about the track.
Well, I'll pick a track called Perfect Way, which it's interesting. I think that's the single that the American record company have chosen to go with first. And we're off to Paris in, I think, about 2 days to do a video for it, which is quite exciting. And I think it's interesting that the Americans should have chosen it, you know, perhaps it's not quite as suitable for a British audience. I don't know. I like it anyway.
Yeah, I think it would make good single fodder.
Yeah, well, here it is.
All right, let's play it. Green, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.